Well, hello, Words for Change. It's Lionel here. I'm reaching out to you from the very heart of our shared journey in inspiration and transformation. As you know, our mission since day one has been to empower, inspire, and enlighten people as they go through the transitory stages of life. And together, we've helped countless of people through exploration and spiritual growth and personal growth. With our stories, our questions, our interviews, we've grown together. Every story, every lesson, every word has been a step toward a better selves, in a better world. In order for us to continue bringing transformation, inspiration to you, we need your support. By sponsoring Words for Change, you're not just contributing to a podcast, but you're fueling a movement, and a movement that's touching so many people. Your sponsorship ensures that we keep bringing our voice, our stories, our interviews, and our teachings to inspire positive change. For our listeners who've been with us from the very start, and those who've just tuned in, consider subscribing. It's a small step toward a giant leap of faith for our Words of Change community. Each subscription brings us closer to inspiring more people and creating positive change in the world. In that spirit, think of sponsoring or subscribing, not just by supporting us, but you're also investing in fueling inspiration and direction in the world. Every penny, every click, every share means that we're reaching our goals. So let's keep the momentum going as a change agent in the world. Let's continue to be the change that we want to see. Let our words, our actions, and our contribution speak far and wide. You can go to our Patreon page in the show notes, click the link, make a donation even on a monthly basis or one-time donation. Every penny counts. Every penny helps us to reach our goal. So thank you for your integral support of our journey as we move toward making the world a better place. Well, welcome everybody to the Words for Change podcast. I am your host, Lionel, and I am super excited about the guests we have coming on the show today. Derek Johnson is going to come through in a minute and talk with us about a very, very important topic. But before we talk about that topic, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to grab your favorite cup of coffee, get yourself settled in, grab a notebook even, because this podcast is going to be good for you. And I really would suggest it to for anyone who is dealing with anyone who's a veteran, anyone in the military, or anyone who's dealing with substance abuse, in particular alcoholism, definitely would recommend this podcast episode for them. And it does just it can be more than just about alcoholism. It can be any substance abuse issues that you're having. This episode will be beneficial to you. Even if you're struggling with trauma from your past, I think you will benefit. I know you will benefit from our guest, what he has to share, and you will benefit from the topic that we will discuss today. So for those of you who do not know me, hey, welcome to the Words for Change podcast. I am Lionel. Who am I? Who is Lionel? Well, Lionel, I am a chaplain, a coach. I am a friend to many and a confidant to a very few. I help people through spiritual growth, personal growth, leading to social change. And I'm here to help you to get through the transitory stages of your life. So thank you for joining the Words for Change podcast. Go ahead on and like. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead on and subscribe so you continue to get wonderful conversations from the Words for Change podcast, and we can become part of a family. You can learn from us and we can learn from you. So, hey, grab your favorite cup of coffee. When we come back on the other side, we'll be with our special guest, Derek Johnson, and we'll hop right into the conversation. Let's make it happen. Well, Derek, how are you today, my brother?
Doing great, Lionel. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. Hey, I'm excited that you are here for the Words for Change podcast, and hey, I think our guests are excited to hear from you as well. Where are you from, man? Tell us, who are you and where are you from, Derek?
Great question. So I'm actually originally from Pensacola, Florida, in the Panhandle. So I was actually born in Fort Stewart, Georgia, Army base about an hour outside of Savannah, Georgia. I was only there for a couple months as a baby. Then from there, we moved to Germany for a few years until elementary school. In elementary school, so from elementary all the way through college, I was throughout the state of Florida.
So, hey, so Derek, so you are from Florida. Did you play sports? Did you do anything like that while you were in high school?
Yes, I ran track. I was also into martial arts. I did Tang Sudo, which is a form of Taekwondo and kickboxing. So played basketball as well, but I really fell in love with the individual sport because I got tired of losing if my butt missed the game winning shot. So I was like, all right, a solo track star and solo martial artist.
Right. So you'd be messing people up out there. I mean, you'd be kicking people and stuff, man. So tell us about you. You are also, I think you're an Army vet, or you were active duty. So tell us a little bit about that. How was that experience for you?
Yes, I was in the U.S. Army for 10 years. 5 years was active and 5 in the Army National Guard. So if people aren't familiar with the Guard, essentially you work for your state and federal. And I was in Florida at the time. If there was a hurricane that came, if a school potentially had an active shooter, we would get mobilized and help the local get their water, protection, safety, and all that. And then in the Army, my job was satellite communications. So I was always the tech nerd. I was on all the devices, laptops, radios, and I always liked the tech space of everything. So having a top security clearance was very interesting, giving my team, giving the platoon and the battalion and everyone the internet, radios, and so forth. And we were the guys behind the scenes, but without us, the mission would never exist or be fully completed or effective. So
were you in intel or were you in comms?
I was in comms.
Comms, yeah. Yeah, cool. So that's one thing we have in common. I'm a chaplain in the military.
Okay.
So
awesome. Good.
Yeah, so I know a lot about all of that. That's why I knew exactly what So doing 5 years, 10 years in that. Hey, by the way, if you guys don't know, that's just a part of what Derek does. But Derek is also a fitness coach, and we'll talk a little bit about his business ventures and what he does out in the world as a fitness coach. But specifically, Derek, what was your experience like in the Army, man? Did you like it? What was it like for you to do what you did in the Army? Yeah, talk about that.
Great question. So the first few years, I actually really enjoyed it. The camaraderie aspect, the competitive aspect, going to all the training schools, air assault, airborne, doing all that. But I did notice that there was a shift my last few years in, and it went from a camaraderie and a cohesive unit to a lot of groups started splitting up, as in, hey, are they part of this political group? Are they part of this? And it got really separated. So my first few years, I loved it because everybody was really close with each other. They were essentially like family. But then my last couple of years, it got really conflicted and it got really dramatic. So
Wait. What do you mean, man? What happened? I mean, come on, you got to spill the beans, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know my side. Derek, I know what happened to me.
Yeah.
Even as a chaplain during that time. But I want to hear what your experience is. What do you mean when you say that you noticed some differences there?
So the differences would be that people started showing their true colors. So we went from supporting each other, having each other's back, to then I noticed that it got very common for soldiers, males and females on paper, that would qualify for new promotions, qualify for new awards, or anything of that nature, they were not getting picked as frequently because they weren't, quote unquote, hanging out with the high rank and all that. So basically, if you weren't drinking beers with the guys in my unit, then they thought, oh, well, you're not part of the clique. So it started happening to a lot of soldiers that more so did their job, showed up for their soldiers, and then would leave work.
Right.
And they really wouldn't hang out with coworkers, which there's nothing wrong with that. And I was one of them. I would just show up, take care of everyone, leave, and keep my personal life personal. And I noticed that that was becoming very common, especially in the state of Florida, at a lot of units where some of my buddies were also different branches, and they noticed it as well, where it was an interesting dynamic and shift, but it went more so from a family unit to then separated into all these cliques and subcategories where at first I didn't mind because I said, hey, I'm still going to show up and take care of everyone. But then I noticed there was a lot of paper pushing, or I would need this paper signed. I would do my part and bring it to the admin guy. And then there'd be a 2 or 3 week delay. Then I couldn't go to this school. And it just seems like I was jumping through unnecessary hoops along with me jumping through them for my soldiers to make sure that they were set. So it got really political when it came to admin. And then also, if you weren't part of the quote unquote buddy system, you would miss out on opportunities or you would be overlooked. Even though on paper you had PT, test scores, volunteer hour. You had all the numbers, your stats were there, but you would somehow fall through the cracks and your packet would start falling lower. So that's one thing that I got really irritated with.
Yeah. So did you feel, okay. So again, we're talking about your experience in the military. So did you feel that you were being, I hate to use the word targeted, cause I hate that word,
but I do too.
but did you feel like you were being, sort of, you know, like subconsciously kind of like ostracized? And the reason I asked that question, Derek, because during that time period when people were, you know, people were expressing their opinions. Oh, yeah. I see it that way.
Exactly.
And the conversations became very, very tough. Like, meaning, you know, because I talk to people, and what I do, I talk to people from the highest rank all the way down to an E1, right?
Yes.
I'm all up and down a chain of command. So when I'd go to, I have conversations behind closed doors, people were afraid to say some things, or that we'd be in a staff meeting and people would say, hey, I remember one time, I don't know if I should say this because I'm still active.
You got it. You just don't have to name drop.
No, I'm not going to name drop, but there was a comment around Black History Month.
Yes.
And the person in charge was turned around and looked at me and was like, what do we do with that? And everybody, some of my friends who were like supply officers and logistics officers, looked across the table at me like, did that just happen? Like, they didn't say anything, but they were like, whoa. And I was like, bro, this is out of control. So the conversations, the reason I bring that story up is because the conversations got very, very tight-lipped. And people were, again, making comments like, oh, well, we can't do that now because of this. Kind of like, oh, this is an inconvenience. Oh, you know, people think this. Did you have that kind of experience?
Oh, yes. 100%. I saw that. And whether it was happening directly to me or my soldiers, that's when it would really irritate me. Because personally, I could handle most of anything. But it was whenever it would happen to my soldiers, male and females, that it was almost like the last straw, where I didn't just initially dip out and say, hey, to each their own. But it was more so a strategic move where I would calculate, okay, her paperwork was not signed, and then she had to pay for her medical bills, even though she shouldn't have, because something happened during training. He wasn't able to go into a school because somebody forgot to sign his paperwork, even though we took it to them and handed it to them. They never sent it off somehow. So we would keep notes. We would keep a paper trail of everything. And so I would show my chain of command. I'm like, hey, I have nothing against them personally, but here's what the admin and other individuals were not doing. They were just not taking care of their soldiers. So I would do everything from my part, but hoping that they would do theirs and always following up. But for some reason, a packet, a paperwork, a signature, something was always missed, forgotten, up in the air. And it would happen so frequently that it started to affect my soldiers' pay. So once that started happening, that's when basically red eye mode was coming out. Nothing violent, but more so really direct, and was like, hey, here's my paper trail. Why is this repeatedly happening to my people and myself? So it was more so that.
Right, right.
And the common thread was that a lot of the individuals were biracial, mixed from different countries, cultures, and all that. Or on paper, they were just overqualified for the position that they were in, but they just didn't necessarily hang out with anyone outside of work. So if they didn't fit in this category, they fit in that one. And I noticed that the chain of command really didn't like that. But it all stemmed from the top.
Wow.
So my first few years in, loved my chain of command, the commander, battalion command, like everyone. Everything was ran in a leadership style the way it should be. And then once you have a change of command, it could be totally different. And that's what happened multiple times, where it was a culture shock. But it was more so the morale of everyone in the unit was dropping week by week. And I've never been one to bring home work stress, but I did start to do that about 6 years ago. That's when I got out, and I noticed that I was just ranting about work to my girlfriend, and I've never been that type. And I was like, oh, red flag. I'm coming home ranting. And like, I'm not about to turn into the guy that's coming home and just going to sit on the porch and just complain all day. So I was like, all right. So I did my part to make some suggestions and all that. But one of the last straws personally that I noticed was, as you're familiar with SHARP training, which is a sexual harassment training, the individual at the time was giving the lecture afterwards, about an hour or two after that lecture, he ended up touching one of my female soldiers. And I'm not violent at all, but I had to hold myself back where it was just...
Whoa, Derek, did I just hear you say that? You said the guy who did the training?
Yes. And there's multiple cases where he would sexually and physically harass the female soldiers, whether that was in the locker room, whether that was in the supply, just like in random areas, and everything was on hush hush. And I didn't realize it until my soldier spoke up to me about it. And so then we pulled female soldiers into the hall. We asked everybody, and then a lot of them wanted to put in some paperwork anonymously. And then a few months later, that sergeant was no longer at our unit. So to this day, I don't know what all happened. I bet he was just shipped off to another unit and repeat the process, a little slap on the hand. But that was another final straw where I was like, so these soldiers are not getting their paperwork signed. I'm somehow overly qualified on paper, but I still aren't able to get into this school, even though the papers and the numbers show that I'm qualified for all these schools. And then the last straw was just the sexual harassment coming from the individual. Number one, it shouldn't happen at all in the military because we should be a cohesive unit. But the most important part and the mind-blowing part was this was the individual teaching the class on sexual harassment. But come to find out, he was drinking at work and other stuff. Not saying that's an excuse at all, but there was a lot of it was a slippery slope in that regard. And so I could just tell that I'm a very calm, positive person, but I could tell that once you're crossing the line that way with individuals, then I didn't want anything to turn violent. So I was like, you know what, we're gonna create a paper trail, submit it, and then do our part.
Well, you know, and Derek, you know that even that the huge issue that happened in Fort Hood, where that young girl was being sexually assaulted, and she actually, I think she ended up killing herself or something like that, or committing suicide or something like that. And so, for you know, that's unfortunate because it is a wide issue, big issue in the military, and these are things that we're talking. I'm not as a person of active service, right? And you as a vet who serve honorably, you know, these conversations need to be had. And this is no way disparaging what we do, how we do it, because this is not everyone in the military. But there is an issue with it. That's the reason why the current administration, and I'm not going political, but the current administration took that. I don't know what they did. They did it for the Marine Corps, but I don't know what they did for the Army. They took that. They took that job. We call it sapper. They took that job away as a collateral duty.
Yes.
And now made it a GS employee gig. So there's no conflict of interest there because it's such a huge problem. And so, that's unfortunate that we had that. So, hey, Derek, let's take a quick break for commercial. We'll come right back. Well, man, what a spirited conversation we're having with our guest today, Derek Johnson, who's coming on and sharing some wonderful information with us so far, telling us his story as an Army vet and as a fitness coach. We're going to talk about his life coach business in a minute. But hey, if you are watching this episode, if you're listening to this episode, hey, this is made possible by Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is the platform that we use for the Words for Change podcast to push our message and our podcast out into the world. So if you're looking for a podcast platform that can help you develop show notes, blog posts, that can get your podcast to all the major podcast platforms, I would encourage you to check out Buzzsprout. The link is in the show note description, and you can mention the Words for Change podcast so we can get our little affiliation kick back there. Why? Because all of this stuff is not for free. It costs something. And so help us to continue to help you to bring great content by checking out Buzzsprout right down below in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much. All right, Derek. So One of the other issues that you talk about in your story is growing up in the military and some of the struggles you had as a military, we call it military brats.
Yes.
Right. Growing up in the military was some of the struggles you dealt with, particularly as it relates around the topic of alcohol. You know, and I know that it is a huge issue, because at least in the Navy Marine Corps, it's even in our fight song.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Marine Corps started in Tun Tavern. That's a bar. The Navy's fight song says, part of it says, you know, drink to the foam, which means basically drink till you can't drink anymore. Like,
exactly.
So what was your, did you have some experiences, if I understand your story correctly, with this issue coming up in a military family?
Yes, for sure. So I would say at the age of 11, that's when things shifted. So my parents, my dad is African-American. He was 25 plus years in the U.S. Army officer. My mother is German. So I actually met in Germany when my dad was stationed there. But long story short, she was a kindergarten teacher, 40 plus years. They both grew up the oldest of multiple siblings. So they were the parental guardian for their siblings while their mothers were working multiple jobs. They also grew up poor and then later on in life became successful. So they had to grow up quick. So there's a lot of trauma in regards to violence, drug addiction that runs on both sides of the family. Also, alcoholism ran on both sides of the family. So by them seeing the violence, being the oldest, having to grow up quick, they honestly just didn't have time to get the help that they needed. So they went into the career field, excelled. Nothing ever affected their career or their professional life, even their personal life with friends. But then I would notice that when I turned 11, things started to shift where their past or traumas would start to spill in. And I noticed it was only at night. So between the hours of 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., that's when they would drink more. But the crazy thing is they would still be up at 4 or 5 every single day working out. So it never affected career, morning routine, anything of that nature. It was just like a window of rage, 300 nights a year. And then the next morning, hey, where do you want to have breakfast? Where do you want to do this? And I'm like, you realize wow. I'm still cleaning up this glass. You realize, but they would basically black out. But I noticed when I was 11, that's when it started. So after a year of that, I noticed that while they were yelling, screaming, everything that was going on, they were looking through me, not at me. Through me as in they could see someone else, a past experience, a past trauma, whatever was happening, it almost felt like the energy on a spiritual level would shift. And it would only happen when the guests would leave. So at that time, we had a beautiful house from the outside in Pensacola, Florida, multiple bedrooms, screened in pool, beautiful family and all that. But once everyone left the cookout and the last drink was finished, that's when they would just release on their son. So I was the youngest. But those first 2 years it happened, it was a reality check. But after a while, I realized that this is all happening for me, not to me. So with that experience, I feel like everyone that has a level of trauma to an extent, we're given a gift. And I feel that my gift as a teenager was the gift of discernment, being able to read an individual, a room, and meet people where they're at. So I was always the calm, quiet kid because, like, one, I was half asleep dealing with a crazy night, but two, I would give what I was lacking at home, which was support and love to others to build them up. So like we had the discipline, we had the structure at home, everything professional, we're waking up early, hustle, work hard, take care of people. But the family dynamic, the love, affection, all that just wasn't there. So I made sure to not go the violent route or to continue the cycle. So fitness became my outlet and it was more so for my mentality. So by being bullied at home as a skinny, light-skinned mixed kid and all that, and I was bullied in school living in the South. One day I woke up in middle school and I said, enough is enough. I need to learn how to harness the body, how to harness the mind and improve my faith. So I went all in.
Well, you know, So just for people listening, give them context here, Derek. I got some stats here that I just want to share with people who need to understand that military alcoholism in the military is a big deal. And it's a big problem. The Army did some research, I think it was back in 2023, March in 2023. They said over 22% of Army soldiers reported a heavy drinking. And that heavy drinking was described as more than, check this out, y'all, 4 drinks a day or more than 14 drinks between men and women. Think about that. Individuals were significantly more likely to report sleeping problems and dissatisfaction because of this. In 2021, the health force said that the substance abuse disorder is diagnosed among soldiers were the highest among those less than 25 years old. So, in other words, if they the younger they were, the more they were abusing alcohol. Okay. And another stat showed that alcoholism is one of the ways that military personnel deal with mental health issues. So if you have mental health issues and you don't know how to deal with it, guess what? Alcohol became your drug of choice. Here's another thing that I just want to bring to everybody's attention here. The NIAD, reported that members are more likely to abuse alcohol, military members, than civilians. Ain't that interesting? Particularly the levels of binge drinking. Active duty service members see drinking as part of their culture. But also drinking alcohol may serve as a means to connect with, you know, conformity, getting into the culture. So in other words, alcoholism is a gateway to being part of the culture. But guess, watch this. Over 15 to 20% of incidents that happen with sexual abuse, sexual assault, DUIs, right? They're all focused around alcoholism. And man, I can tell you from my experience that any of the situations that I encountered, whether it was like a sailor marine out in town causing problems, sexual assault someone, it was all alcohol is every time is a part of the equation, right? And so what we're saying here is that it has a traumatic effect not only on the individuals sort of getting into the culture and conforming into the culture and then becoming part of it, but it also has a crippling and a ripple effect on a person's mental health, how to deal with mental health, and causing criminal behavior, right? So I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's kind of what you're talking about. So here you have your family who were upstanding citizens doing the right thing, right? Great people, great community, all of that stuff you're surrounded by. But there were some demons deep down inside. And so luckily, probably because of your military training and military home environment, you was like, well, you know, how do I turn this into something good?
Exactly.
And I know a lot of people out there want to hear, how'd you do that, man?
Yeah, for sure. Great question. So one, I got tired of being bullied at home and at school. So I said, you know what? I have to change my body. I was always this skinny kid. Was light skin, so automatically you're, I guess, apparently soft. So I made sure to learn about the body, learn about the mind. So I picked up every book in regards to bodybuilding magazines, books. I started consuming content of speakers like Tony Robbins, Les Brown, and I just wanted to harness my body by building it. And then most importantly, control my mind. And the more that I did that, within about 2 years, my classmates, my teachers, my neighbors, my parents, friends, they were asking me like, hey, what did you do? And then from there, slowly, I started training people. So at the age of 15, I became a personal trainer. And throughout high school, throughout college, I was training people also in the military. But what really shifted to guide me towards becoming a life coach was I was around 25, and that's when I've trained hundreds of clients, males, females, soldiers, and athletes. But I realized that some people would start to go backwards months or years after we trained together. And at first, one side of me was like, oh, he or she just got lazy. But then the other side, the mature side, said, no, I did not give them the mental tools to change this, to change those patterns. Mm. So nowadays, what I really focus on besides the fitness is helping people identify patterns that are not serving them, so they can thrive and not just barely survive. So an example is the individual that does really well in one or two things, but they neglect the rest. kind of push it into the closet, slide it under the rug, say, I'm going to get to it January 1st. Yeah, after the holidays, I'm going to get to that thing. But that is the exact thing that is affecting their friendships, their relationships, their mental health, physical health, whatever it specifically is. So that's what we identify the most. What is that thing? Where did it begin? Where did it start? And then slowly walking through the process to get rid of limiting beliefs, traumas, things of that nature. So they feel like they can finally breathe again and they have control of their situation and control of their outcome. So that's the main thing that I focus on now, but it was all from the path of harnessing my own energy. So as that kid, as that teenager, I knew that I had a lot of pent up anger and aggression and I didn't want to be violent. So I was like, all right, martial arts is helping me be calm. Fitness is helping me be calm. Right. And after an intense workout, my mind was open. And that's when I would work on my faith because I wasn't thinking. Mm. I was just in flow state and amazing things would happen on a spiritual level. And I really got excited about it and obsessed with that in a good way because I wanted others to experience that. So I always knew that there was a correlation between physical and mental, and I wanted to give people that. So to give them that energy that they had control and they could work on their faith after an excruciating workout because they're calm, there's no self-judgment, they're flowing. So it was very interesting. So with that being said,
so
got sick and tired of being bullied at home and school. And then just went all in to work on myself to then help others as well throughout the process.
So when you say faith, are you saying religious faith or spiritual faith or faith in themselves, just faith in themselves? How do you define that? Yeah.
Great question. So faith in God in whatever an individual believed in. So for me, it was God, Jesus, and worked on my faith from there. So that's what I believed because of seeing so much darkness. And I do believe that. And to each their own, but alcohol is a gateway to open up spirits, which is why it's called spirits. If you look at the liquor store. So I do believe that at times, when the madness was happening, that something would take them over. And some people might think that sounds crazy, but people that have experienced it, they can see that a person's eyes would change color. And I saw that happened to a lot of my family members when they were on something. And so the spiritual battle was what affected me the most. It wasn't like the violence and the yelling. I was calm. That really didn't affect me much, but it was like the dark demonic energy that was in the home or in the family that I could feel would only pop up sometimes when something was being consumed. And so like as a teen, also in the army, I had very severe sleep paralysis, not from me drinking at all in the military, but it was more so from experiences. And I felt that spiritually, I was like being attacked on a deep level. So I had to fight through that by improving my faith. But I realized that that was because of my surroundings. It wasn't that I was consuming anything. It was just being surrounded by that so much. I literally felt that somewhere in the family, there was demonic possession that would like hop from person to person. And again,
So how do you couch that conversation to spiritually? Because there's people listening and going, okay, man, now you're going woo woo on me. You lost me, man. So how do you say, no, man, this is just a psychological. I can hear some people anticipate that this is just a psychological issue you're having. It had nothing to do with, you know, some spiritual. I don't want to say combat that, but this is your experience. So how did you get to that level where you say, you know what, I feel like this is a demonic attack. And it's the gateway to this demonic attack is through the consumption of some kind of I should say psychedelic, alcoholism, drug, what have you.
Substance. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is a great question. So I always saw it as a challenge. I was always zooming out of myself. So when the situation was happening with family or it was a nightmare, it was sleep paralysis, whatever it was, I would zoom out and I would look at my current self from a version 10.0. So like the individual that I want to become, I would look at myself and say, what is the best action step he should take in this moment? And then I would perspective hop to my younger self and look at the current self and say, look at everything he's been through. He should be proud. How can he get to that higher version? And I would perspective hop a lot. So in the moment, I wasn't necessarily affected by what was happening. I was more so trying to figure out, all right, what is the best outcome? And then from there, I would make a strategic decision opposed to making a decision based on emotions or whatever energy was happening. So I would first pause, breathe, assess the situation, and then make the best decision for myself and for others. And it was usually always the calm route and not giving people what they expected. So going back to the question was also that the more that I harness myself, as in my energy, my response to situations, I realized that my faith was elevated so much because I realized that I wasn't just doing this by myself. The fitness wasn't just about the body or the mind. I realized that that level of calmness elevated my trust in God. And I knew that somebody was with me throughout the process. So it wasn't just me reading, learning, training. I knew something was guiding me. So the deeper I went, I realized that my conscience, I just trusted it 100%, even to this day. Whatever I'm guided to, I don't even question it. It says, hey, go do this thing. Okay. Something good always happens and there's literally no second thought. There's no self-doubt. It's insane. But
right.
Again, I do truly believe that only happens when somebody has been through trauma and goes all in on working on themselves and their faith. So to the individual that might think that sounds crazy, I challenge them to look at a friend, look at a family member that has had drinking issues and think back on a memory where you saw somebody just yelling, just very violent, just that was not them. Something took them over. To some, they could say, you know what, demonic possession. To others, they could say that's childhood trauma that came out via rage or anger. Some could say maybe it's a combination of both. But either way, it's to see that people are just opening up a doorway to something that they haven't worked on or faced, and they don't know how to control it. So that's why I always challenge people to really harness their own energy, realize the power that they do have, work on their faith in whatever they particularly believe in. But from there is to realize that we have the power to control our reactions to things, situations, and people. So one of the huge components that I focus on is I teach people how to get rid of their vices. And it's without judgment. So if it is alcohol for this individual, if it's drinking, if it's porn for this individual, if it's just anger, some people are just angry 24/7, whatever their vice is, we identify where this came from and then we slowly start to get rid of that thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Derek, you break up a good point that we have, everybody has what we could call generational curses.
Yes.
What I mean by generational curses, if I was to use scientific jargon to explain that, we all have genetic predispositions for things.
Yes.
And some of those things are not positive. And one of the greatest pieces of advice that I've ever gotten was everything from your external life is a result of your internal world. And so if you're not paying attention to your spirit, the things that are the thoughts that you're having, the way that you're responding to the realities that you're facing, if you're not paying attention to that, you'll spend all of your time on the external, not understanding that what's really driving all of that, it's what's going on inside of you. And some of that can be the result of some spiritual paralysis that you may have gone through. Maybe you have a person that you've never even worked on or never even thought about working on your spiritual life. And that's a big deal for me. It's part of what I do. I help people to work on their spiritual life, right? I start there first and then you kind of branch out from there because I believe it affects you in so many different ways. And so to the listener, think through what Derek is telling us, right? That you need to be open to the fact that there are things from your past, behaviors and predispositions to things that's affecting your life. And you need to maybe turn around and focus on what those things are instead of just working on the external. What about the internal resources, right? I remember Derek, this brought me to mind of a young lady that this was many, many years ago, and I'll be quick here, but I was working at a high school, and this one girl came into my office, and she was 18 years old, and she was in the 10th grade. She had two kids by two different guys, and she was pregnant by a third kid by another guy. And I remember looking at her thinking, and she was lost in that situation. The reason why she came to my office is because she didn't have money to pay. And I said, well, where are the fathers? None of them are involved. and she's 18, trying to get through high school, and she's pregnant with two kids. And I looked at her and said, your life is done before you even begin. Your life is done before you even begin. Come to find out that as I talked with her more, because I was a counselor, she had, not only was she in that position, her mom and her grandma had a very similar experience. So her present reality was the result of an ancestral, almost, right, a way of being and working and living in the world that was resulting in the same actions. What am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes what we are experiencing has so much to do with our upbringing and our past and people who influence us more than our current reality. So I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, 100%.
And this is what you help people with in life coaching too, yeah.
Exactly, because people have to accept that they're a product of their environment, but if they can be aware of that, it's all about awareness to zoom out. So my awareness was extremism and addiction runs on both sides of the family. I chose fitness and I went all out. And my parents and their friends were like, oh, he's addicted to this. And I'm like, I'm not even pushing anything onto you. I'm like, yes, I just went run 10 miles. I hit the gym for 2 hours. Like, why is that a bad thing? I'm like, you guys all have drinking issues. Push my body and mind. But just identifying, does extremism run in our family? If it does, are you choosing a positive outlet to control that thing? And are you seeing the positive in it? So an example, they were professional. They were always up. They were always doing well and excelling in their careers. Okay, I got those traits. The extremism is there. We have to identify that. Okay, I'm going to choose a positive outlet for when said emotions hit. That's fitness. That's faith and building up others. And then from there, I was just hyper aware. Hey, do not try any of these things. So to this day, I've never once tried a drug, never once smoked anything of that nature, because I knew that our mentality, something in the chromosomes is going to just go all in. So I said, I'm going all in on my career and to help people. And that's it. And that's what I chose. Made that decision. And just to this day, just proud of myself choosing that rather than another route, not knowing what would have happened if I just said, oh yeah, you know, dabble in this, dibble in that, and that could turn into something extreme. So, but again, that takes the individual that can have the ability to push pride and ego aside to zoom out and assess their family, not judging at all and just seeing, all right, this runs rampant on both sides. It can be used for good. So I need to get obsessed with my goals and helping improve other people and myself, and then go from there and see what happens along this journey.
Well, Derek, speaking of your goals, let's talk about you as a fitness coach, man. So what do you tell everybody what you do as a fitness coach? And we'd love to introduce how you're helping people to, we talked about the internal, now how we're helping people to work on the external. So help us understand what you do, man, and how you impact people that way.
Definitely. So number one, I have a training app. So every client has access to the training app. So essentially on there, they have their calendar. They know what day they're doing what workout, what day is a rest day. So in the training app, I have tutorial videos of the exercises and they watch those for 30 to 60 seconds, and then they follow the sets and reps. So week by week, we also get on Zoom calls or if it's in person, and then we dive deep into their goals. If it's performance, for some it's physique. For some, they're like, I've had a bad relationship with food from past bullying, from my family upbringing. I just want to change the trajectory. I do not want to be like the rest of my family or to break this trend. So we pinpoint what exactly their clear goal is that would make him or her happy and powerful and prideful in themselves. Because sometimes people, they place happiness on the end goal of a weight, what the scale says, how their body looks, measurements, if they can bench 315 on flat bench, like whatever it is I teach them how to fall in love with the person along the journey to their goal. And they always gain clarity and say, wow, I didn't realize that it was going to be so much deeper than just fitness. Their career starts to elevate, their personal relationships, their public speaking. So that's always my favorite part of that, because I can always tell in the beginning, oh, she's shy. She wants to train at home. By month two, she can be like, hey, can I go to the gym? And next thing you know, she's going to be out here just doing all this. And it's amazing to see the light bulbs go off when an individual harnesses their morning routine, their daily habits, and they feel like they have control. It's just another way of living, because many people, they see athletes as inspiring and some see them as obsessed, but they don't realize that what they harness at their core is their standards, and they live up to those standards each and every day. And they have that discipline.
That's good.
And if somebody doesn't have that, they can't control the other areas of their life. I just challenge everyone to become the man or woman that you'd be proud of and see how you can give him or her to the world. Become the man or woman that you'd be proud of and see how you can give him or her to the world. So I truly feel that's what we're all here for. We can heal ourselves. We can help impact others, even if it's not your career. But everything comes full circle, and everything that you learn and the wisdom, don't hoard it. Give it to others. See how you can empower other people that you come across in life.
Awesome. Well, Derek, thank you so much for coming by and sharing with the Words for Change podcast. I really, really appreciate it, brother. And you helped us to understand how we can move through life, and we can take care of the internal, even though we have some trauma from the past, even though we have things that we're not really proud about. But these things can serve as fuel to motivate us and move us toward our life journeys and purpose, which is definitely what it has done for you. So once again, thank you for coming by, brother.
I appreciate it,
Ronald. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, sir. Well, Words for Change podcast, we've done another great episode with Derek Johnson. His information is down in the show notes for you to go ahead on and connect with him. If you want coaching, if you want to get into a fitness routine, he can be there with you to help walk you through that process. Even if you want to talk about some of the traumas in your life that's keeping you from living your best life, Derek is there to help you. So once again, thank you for listening to the Words for Change podcast. Looking forward to talking with you soon and introducing you to the possibility of change. Because remember, nothing will change in life until you change first. Be the change you want to see in the world. Talk to you soon. Peace.